And 2 weeks ago today, we preached the distance between here and there. And since I didn't preach last Sunday morning, I want to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago. And I want to preach again, the distance between here and there, part two, or just simply here to there. Amen. Here to there, part two. Now, before we get into scriptures, and we will in a few moments, we'll go in a little bit, we'll get to Psalm 91 and then some others. But before we get there, I just want to talk for a few moments. From a biblical perspective, this world is ripe and ready for two things. Number one is a great harvest. Jesus compared the masses of unsaved people to a harvest. And he says the fields are white and ready. He says the harvest is great, but he needs laborers. And so in the context of the current world situation, it is ripe for a great harvest. And then the second thing that the world is ripe and ready for, of course, is the coming of the Lord. Amen. The coming of the Lord. Jesus described the culture and events of our day as the last days. And though many are missing the spiritual implication of it, we have witnessed the rise of powerful world-impacting spirits. For example, homosexuality has been around since Noah's day, but it has always been tabooed in most societies. But a spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah has risen, greater than what first century Greco-Roman culture experienced and what Paul fought against. But this spirit that has risen has broken into the God-ordained and sacred institution of marriage. And it is flaunting the abomination of men with men and women with women. And then a spirit of Chemosh, infanticide, has risen in the earth. Chemosh was a god in ancient times in both biblical and historical records whom his worshipers believed required the sacrifice of newborn children. Oftentimes, as soon as a baby exited the womb, he or she was brought to the altar of Chemosh and sacrificed. And today, so-called advanced societies such as our own are embracing abortion at birth, and even the slaughter of babies that survive the abortion and exit the womb alive, and they are sacrificed at the altar of convenience and choice. Jesus said love would wax cold, children would hate their parents, and sin would abound. I would say that we are living in what he called the last days. Amen. If you read Matthew 24, 25, if you read other scriptures in the Gospels and in his words, such as Matthew 24, you see where we are in this world. And you would certainly, I believe, would agree with me that we are indeed living in the last days. And so it is ripe and ready, the world is, for a great harvest and for the coming of the Lord. And so you and I have great responsibilities. We have responsibilities that are greater in every way than all our earthly responsibilities combined, because they are eternal. You have responsibilities certainly to your everyday life and the routine of everyday life. You've got responsibilities to your family and to your job and to all these things. We all do, but we have greater responsibilities than these because they are, as I said, eternal. First and foremost, is your salvation and mine. You are responsible for your salvation. And I am responsible for my salvation. Amen. You must make sure that you are, as Jesus said in John 3, born again of water and the Spirit, lest you not see nor enter the kingdom of God, he said. And if you're not sure what it means to be born again, see myself or one of our leaders, and we can certainly help you understand that. We can explain that to you. Peter, to whom Jesus had given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, explained it this way in Acts 2 and said to everyone, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And let me just say, you don't have to fully understand it to obey it. You can obey it and then understanding it will come. And so first and foremost, your responsibility and my responsibility is to make sure that when it all comes down to it, we are saved. Amen? We are saved. You must make sure, I must make sure. I can't save you, you can't save me. And then our second most important responsibility is that we pursue holiness and godliness in our lives, because that is part of salvation. The Bible says that without holiness, we cannot even see God. God said to come out from the world and be separate, set apart, different. It doesn't mean that we leave the city and live in the country. Amen. The Bible says we are in the world, but not of the world. So it's your life, not your location. Holiness is pleasing to God, but it's not just pleasing God. It's pursuing His mandate for separation from worldliness to godliness. You and I are responsible for that. Amen. We're responsible for understanding that. We're responsible for studying the Scriptures and applying those Scriptures to our lives, right? We're responsible for pursuing a walk in a relationship with God. And that relationship, according to this Bible, requires a separation from the world and the cosmos, world system, and worldliness, and separated to God in righteousness and holiness and our lifestyles. And then our third most important responsibility, of course, is to our family. Now, you can't literally save your spouse or your children or your grandchildren, but you can give them truth. You can give them the gospel. You can give them what they must do to be saved. Amen. You can bring your children and grandchildren or spouse to church and introduce them to God. Amen. You can pray for them and you can help them and you can talk to them. And so we are responsible for our families. We are responsible for them knowing what to do to be saved. Amen. And doing everything we can for them. Finally, we are responsible for reaching the lost and making disciples. The final command of Jesus before His ascension back to His throne in heaven was, go, teach, baptize, and make disciples. Amen. Now, my responsibility as a pastor is great, but it really is not that much different from yours. Certainly my responsibility is to lead the church and to navigate through these last days, to lead the church through the seasons that we face and experience, to lead the church into and through these different times and seasons and growth and all these different things, and lead as many as possible to into eternity with God. Amen. You might say, well, oh, that's all? Yeah, that's what I say. Not much pressure, right? But your responsibility is not just following, but leading as well. Amen. You and I have responsibilities. Some of those are shared responsibilities. Your responsibility is to be a disciple and to make disciples. Your responsibility, as well as mine, is to be the church. To pray, to grow, to work, to serve, to go deeper, to go higher, to promote unity in the church, to promote faithfulness in the church, and to be ready to move when the cloud moves. Amen. Now, for those who don't know, that's a reference to the Old Testament when the children of Israel, the Israelites, came out of Egypt led by Moses. They're in the wilderness, and God told Moses that when the cloud moves, God put the cloud there. Cloud by day, fire by night. But he said, when you see the cloud move, then everybody moves with it. And when the cloud begins to move, the entire population of Israel in the wilderness, 1.5-2 million people, whatever it was, they kicked up their tent stakes, wrapped up their tents and all their belongings, and they followed the cloud, which was placed there by God. And the cloud would lead them to the next place. They would go from here where they were to there where God wanted them to be. And so our responsibility is to watch, and when God moves and is moving His church into a new purpose and into a new dimension, that we move with Him. Amen. And so we must keep our eyes on God and on the glory of God, on the things and the purposes of God. And when God says move from here to there, we move from here to there. Amen. Now, to be sure, part of the vision of this church is great numerical growth. And that is people being filled with the Holy Ghost, people being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, people coming into relationship with God, the new birth, salvation, learning, discipling, all of those things. That's part of the vision of this church. And we know that this sanctuary that God has just recently blessed us with is not adequate for the growth that is coming. Amen? And we'll worry about that when the time comes. We've got some ideas already going on. But until then, our focus should be on personal growth and discipleship. Individually and collectively. Yours, mine, and ours, and others. Amen? I'm talking about getting from where we are in God to where He wants us to be. Amen. And so our focus, for however long God directs, our focus is on growth. Your growth, my growth, our growth, and the growth of anybody else who will come in and allow us to help them. Amen. I want us to get to a place in God, individually and collectively, where we've never been before. Amen. Certainly we want growth. We're doing outreach. We're going to continue to do outreach. And I believe that numerical growth is coming. It is going to come. But right now, our focus ought to be on discipleship for each of us. Like I said 2 weeks ago, you are a disciple. I am a disciple, right? If I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm seeking Him, if I'm learning or desiring to learn, if I call myself a Christian and I say I'm following Him, then that makes me a disciple. What kind of disciple I am, now that's a different story. Amen? And so our focus and my focus and what I believe that God is leading me to do as your pastor is to lead us and help us to become greater disciples, if I can say it that way. But to become, to move into a dimension, as I said, like we've never known before. Into a walk with God, a relationship with God like we've never had before, individually and collectively. Amen. Going from here to there, amen, where He wants us to be. That place in Him where we know we need to be, where we know we can be, and where we know we should be. Amen. In these times, it is imperative that we move closer to God and further from the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. Amen. And so it is imperative that we move closer to Him and further from worldliness. Closer to Him and further from self. Closer to Him and further from sin. Closer to Him and further from our flaws. Can someone say yes? Amen. Psalm 91, familiar scripture to all of us, no doubt, says, he who dwells, of course, he here being mankind, so you can say he or she, but it's mankind, humanity. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Now, you can take everything from verse 1 to verse 8. And then the beginning of verse 9 says, because. You can apply everything from 1 to 8 and because. Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. It's going from here, wherever here is, to there. To make the Lord your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. And then there's a transition here. And it's God speaking, says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life or many days, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Isn't that where we want to be? If you would read Psalm 91 carefully and slowly, and I advise you to do that later, but read it carefully and slowly and say, you know what? That's where I want to be. I want to be in that place. It's not just poetic, right? It's not just poetic. It's not just a psalm or a song. So many songs we sing nowadays, I don't want to get sidetracked, but so many songs we sing nowadays I don't think most people believe half of it. Amen. But never mind. But this, you can believe it. You can take this and you can say, wait a minute. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to be. This is where I want my dwelling place. Quickly, 1 Kings 17. This is right after Elijah had prophesied to King Ahab of a 3-year drought. He had just prophesied to Ahab that he said, there's coming a drought. It's not going to rain for 3 years. And in fact, it won't rain until I say it will rain. And after he prophesied that to King Ahab, the Lord spoke to Elijah. In verse 3 says, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Kereth, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Everybody say there. There. Amen. When we can get away from here, where we are now, each of us individually, and get there where God wants us to be, that's where blessings are. That's where great things happen. That's where rest in God is. Amen. Now, looking back at Psalm 91 again, really quick, and we're going to get back to 1 Kings 17 here in a little bit. But it begins with that familiar verse, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I just wanted to go back real quickly and say something here. The word secret there is a shroud or a covering. A shroud or a covering. And so if you dwell in the secret place, that shroud, the covering place of the Most High, then you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. All right? So I can dwell, if I dwell in that place of covering, that place where I can be shrouded in His presence. If I get to that place, then I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word shadow there literally just means shade. And so if I'm in the covering or the shroud of His presence, then I can abide in His shade. Amen. Everybody knows what a shade is. When the heat from the sun is shining on one side of that big oak, you get on the other side and you're in its shade, and there you find cool rest. Amen. And as this world gets hotter, spiritually speaking, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, there is a place that I can be in God, and it's in His covering and it's in His shade. Amen. Amen. As I said last time, as this world waxes worse and worse, if we're not getting closer and closer to God, we're falling behind. Amen. If we're at the same place we were in God a year ago, we're falling behind. Today's Christianity is in many ways entrenched, so entrenched in the world and worldliness that oftentimes it's hard to tell the difference between the two. But as the world gets worse, the church should be getting closer to God and further from the world. And the distinction between the two should become more and more clear, not less and less clear. So as the world goes one way, you and I need to go in the opposite direction. In other words, as the world gets filthier, you and I need to get cleaner. Right? As the world sinks into more depravity, you and I need to get higher in righteousness. As the world gets further from God, you and I need to get deeper in God. Can somebody say yes? Amen. Can we admit that we need to go higher and deeper? Can we admit that there is a place, a there that we need to get to? Amen. If we could admit that, just like 2 weeks ago when we started this message, 2 weeks ago I asked us to admit that we have flaws, right? Now, most of us raised our hands. And I believe that those who didn't understand what I said. Amen. They didn't hear me correctly. But I believe that if I were to ask it again and say, how many of us would admit that we have flaws, we would probably, hopefully, all raise our hands. And if we're going to admit that, then we ought to admit that there is a place in God that I want to be, that I need to be, that I should be. Amen. And if we can admit that there is a place that is different from where I'm at here, if there is a there and it's better than here, if I can admit that, then that's the first step. And the next step then is what? To get there. It's pretty simple. Amen. Admitting that there is a place where we need to be and should be and want to be is easy. But getting there requires action on our part. Right? Because anytime you want to get from here to there, wherever there is, it requires movement. Right? It requires us doing something. Because God will tell you about the place. He will put it in your heart that there is a place. He will speak to your heart and mind, perhaps through a message such as this one, and tell you to go to that place. And He will even tell you how to get to that place. But He will not drag you there. Amen. He leaves it up to you and me to take the next step of getting there. Amen. In God's mercy and grace, if we will hear Him, if we will listen to Him, if we will pray and seek God and say, God, I want to know You more. I want to love You with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to get closer to You. I want to get to a place where I've never been in You. I want to walk in Your Spirit. I want to walk by faith. I want to know that I'm with You, Lord God. I want to know, God, that I'm walking in hand with You. If we will pray that and really sincerely mean that and seek God, then God will show us and God will begin to deal with us and say, yes, there is a place that I want you to be. I don't want to leave you here where you are. And so I will speak to your heart and mind. I will show you. I will deal with you. I will give you the location of where I want you to be. I can show you what will happen in that place. I will show you an anointing, but it's not here, it's there. I will show you a power. It's not here, it's there. And God will show you that place. He'll tell you how to get to that place. He will even tell you what will happen at that place, but He will not drag you to that place, right?
Amen, amen. That's right.
After all of that, he says, now, you got to do something. Right? Amen. But it doesn't mean you have to do it all on your own. Amen. Because he wants you there even more than you want to be there. God doesn't want to leave you here. Right? Here is a place where none of us want to stay, I hope. Right? If here is where the flaws are, I don't want to stay here. Right? If here is where I'm just stuck in a rut, I don't want to stay here. If here is where I'm living this roller coaster walk with God, I don't want to stay here. If here is mediocrity, I don't want to stay here. Man, nobody in their right mind should want to stay here, wherever here is for you. Right? There's always a there. There's always a there. Did you know if we could, we can't, but if we could predict that Jesus Christ is coming back next Friday, between now and next Friday, there are still some theirs. He doesn't want you to stay here wherever here is for you. Amen. And so we don't want to stay here. We want to go there. But God wants you there more than you want to be there. Because you don't even know what all God wants to do there. Amen. You think you've seen God do some things when you're in your here. Wait till you get to your there. Amen. And so He will speak to you. He will tug on your heart. He will tug on your mind. He will speak to your mind. He will draw you. He'll call you out of that here to that there, but to do your part to get there is up to you and me. Amen. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:12. Now, this is the Apostle Paul we're talking about here, okay? Now, granted, he wasn't always the man he is here, right? He used to be a killer of Christians. Right? He was a persecutor of Christians in the early church. But after his conversion, baptism, all of that, he's living for God. God is using Paul in a mighty, mighty way. He's preaching the gospel to the axis of Asia, but to the church at Philippi, Paul writes and says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. In other words, I'm not there anymore, way over there where I used to be. I'm here, but I'm not there yet. There's still a there for me. I have not attained yet. I'm not already perfected yet. Amen. In other words, I'm not complete in my walk with God yet, but I press on. Yes. Yes. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't apprehended my greatest there yet. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul is saying, you know what I did? Paul said, I walked away from a lot of hears. I walked away from some flaws. I didn't always do things right. Amen. I didn't always say the right things. I didn't always have the right attitude. In fact, I used to hate those that I now try to win. I used to hate the gospel I now preach. Right? I used to kill people that I now call my brothers and sisters. I had them arrested. God brought me out of that. He brought me to a there. But then that there became a here. Then He brought me to another there. and that there became a here. And then he brought me to another. He says, but here I am, I'm nearing the end of my life, but I have not yet attained. In other words, I keep looking for another there because God has got a place for me. In other words, I cannot afford to sit still and relax. Amen. Can I sit beside you, Brother Cox? Paul is saying, you know what? I can't afford to just sit back like this. Oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. Y'all go on and praise if y'all want to. I'm tired. I'm saved. No. He doesn't want you to sit there and say, oh, I'm good now. I'm good. Let all those sinners come in. Let all the drug dealers come on in and be saved. I'm already there. I'm already saved. I don't need anything else. I'm just here. I'm just here just to give and to watch this preacher make a fool of himself. But I'm good. I don't need to go anywhere else. No. Do not get comfortable where you are. Amen. Because discipleship is growing. It's ever growing, ever learning, and ever getting closer and closer and closer to God before He comes. Amen. I mean, isn't that our ultimate goal? Is to get closer to Him before He comes. Amen. For His church. Amen. I mean, if I don't want to move, if I don't want to grow, there's something wrong with me. Amen. Right? Amen. And if I'm not doing what I can to grow in God, then I need to check myself. I need to check my motives. Right? I need to see if I've even got the Holy Ghost. If I'm not willing to grow and seek another place and try to get to another dimension in Him. If I don't desire another realm, another dimension, another relation, depth of relationship with God, then I need to check myself. I need to look at myself in the mirror and say, oh boy, what is wrong with you? You're not praying like you ought to pray. You're not reading the Word like you ought to read the Word. You don't hunger for God like you need to hunger for God. Amen. I don't ever want the hunger that I had for God in my early 20s to supersede the hunger that I have for God now. And I can promise you, I hungered for God back then. And sometimes I say, I have to check myself. I have to say, God, did I hunger for you more then than I do now? God forbid. God forbid. Amen. Some of you, when you first came into the church and God filled you with the Holy Ghost, baptized, washed away your sins, calling upon His name, delivered you from some things in your life, and you were so on fire for God, and you couldn't wait to get into the Word, you couldn't wait to get to church, you couldn't wait to pray, you couldn't wait to see what else God was going to do next. But then, oh, we got mature. You know, and then we watch others who just come in. They're so excited about the way God is moving in their lives. They're so excited about what God has done, and we watch them. We watch them shout and praise and say, "Oh, isn't that sweet? I used to be there, but I've matured. I grew up." God help us, indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Paul said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. Now, if Paul at this point in his life hadn't apprehended, then right. Amen. But Paul said, I'm reaching. I'm still reaching. Oh, but you're the Apostle Paul. You're famous. And indeed he was. Now, the Bible doesn't say Paul was famous. But when Paul went to a city, people knew who he was. So he's famous, right? I mean, we can say it. The Bible didn't say it, but we can say it because we have the advantage of looking back and seeing that when Paul goes into a city, he turns the place upside down. People had already heard of him. He had a reputation. And so if Paul is saying, I'm not there yet. I've had some theirs, but there's still some more to come. He says, I'm still pressing. I'm still reaching forward. I'm still pressing toward the goal. I'm pressing. Amen. I'm pressing. And so God will show you there. But what you got to do is you got to press. You got to reach. Amen? Amen? Press and reach. Press and reach. Press and reach. Amen. Man, let me try to hurry. Elijah. 1 Kings 17, God says to Elijah, he says, get away from here, right? Go east. Hide by the brook Kereth, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So, what's happening here? It's very simple. God says, leave here and go there. Yeah. Amen? That's what he's trying to tell all of us. I want you to leave here and I want you to go there. And God tells Elijah, and what's going to happen when you get there is you're going to drink from that clear, cool brook. Amen. And I'm going to do some cool things that I'm not going to do for you here. Amen. And he says, you know what I'm going to do for you when you get there? I'm going to send ravens, and they are going to bring you fresh bread and meat. Amen. Well, what oven is that bread coming from? And what grill is that meat coming from? It don't matter. Because it's not here, it's there. Amen. And so God says, you're going to leave here and you're going to go there and I'm going to do wonders in your life. What happens? Verse 5 says, so he, Elijah, went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Kereth. Amen. And so, did God drag him to the brook? No. God just instructed him, you're going to leave here and you're going to go there. But you've got to do it. I'm not dragging you. I'm not taking you. I will give you directions. I'll tell you about it there. I'll even tell you what I'm going to do when you get there. But you got to get there. Amen. You got to get there. And so he did. He went and he did according to the word of the Lord. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Amen. So he had sausage biscuits in the morning and he had hamburgers in the evening. I mean, you can't beat that. Right? That sounds a lot like my diet. Amen. Because awesome things happen when you go from here to there. Amen. Now, what happened though after Elijah, I know I got to hurry. But after Elijah left his here where he was afraid, right? He had no direction. He had just prophesied to a wicked king who had a much more wicked wife. that there was going to be a 3-year drought, and that drought would only end when he said it was going to end. And after he prophesied that, all of a sudden, he's realizing, oh, what did I just do? Yeah. Now, there's a target on my back. There's a price on my head. And so God takes him from his here to a there. And he's there, and he's enjoying the blessings of being there now. But here's the thing. What happens to there? After a little while, it becomes a here.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. Right? Because you were once here in God. And then God, through means and through your prayer and your studying and listening and obeying the Word of God, God brought you to a there. But after a little while, that there became a here. And so here you are, right? Here we all are. And so your there always becomes a here eventually. And so what happened? Verse 7 says, and the brook did what? Dried up. Isn't that what always happens? Amen. When God takes you from your here to a there, and he begins to do cool stuff in your life, and he begins to take you to a dimension of relationship with him, a walk with him, and anointing, using you, and things are going great, and you're just loving God, you're loving people, loving the church, and man, I'm walking with the Lord. This is the life I've always wanted. All of a sudden, the brook dries up. And so Elijah wakes up one morning, he's got his cup, he said, what happened to the water? Where's my biscuits and sausage? What does God say? Nope, it's time to go. I have another there for you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And so, God said, arise. Arise and go to Zarephath. Amen. You got to leave your here, which used to be a there. I've got another there for you, because that there, it became a here. Now I've got another there for you. Amen. And so I'm going to shorten this all up. And so God said, go there. So Elijah, the Bible says, he rose up. He got up. You've got to get up. If you want to get to another there, you've got to get up. If you want to get out of your here, you got to get up. Amen. Amen. And so he goes to Zarephath. I'm not going to go through all the scripture now. I'm trying to hurry. He goes to Zarephath. There's a widow woman there that God said, I'm going to use this little woman there. Again, you're going to a new dimension, okay? You're going to a new place, a new dimension. Before, God fed him with ravens bringing bread and meat, and the brook Kerith was there, and he drank from that. But now he gets to Zarephath, and there's this little widow woman there, and she's gathering up sticks, and he approaches her, and he says, what are you doing? And she says, I'm gathering sticks, and I'm going to make a little fire. I'm going to make a couple of little pancakes, and one's for my son, one's for myself, and then we're going to die. We're going to starve to death. That's basically what's going to happen. And Elijah says, no, that's not what's going to happen, because God told me to come here, amen, because I was here over here, and now this is my there, and God sent me here, and you're going to make me a cake first. And so she did so, and because of that, the Bible tells us that every time she goes back to the oil and goes back to the meal, she looks and, hey, there's more there. Every day there's more there. Because when God takes you from here to there, there's promise and there's provision. Amen? There's miracles. There's a greater walk with God. Amen. There is promise and there is provision when you leave your here and go to that there that God is calling you to. So my question to us today is, what does your there look like? Because it's different for every one of us. It's different for every one of us. Amen. I've been living for God now for, I don't know, got the Holy Ghost in 1981. It's 2019, so what's whatever, how many years is that? I don't know. And I've had a lot of here's and I've had a lot of there's. Mine are different from yours. I've been preaching for, I think, 26 years now, I believe. I've had a lot of here's and I've had a lot of there's. And so yours are different than mine. Mine is different from yours. Yours is different from your neighbor's, okay? But what does yours look like? And what does it take to get there? It takes you reaching, amen? It takes you rising up. It takes you going. It takes some effort on our part. But let me tell you something. Whatever that there is for you, there's promise there. There's power there. There's provision there. There's anointing there. Amen. There's a walk with God there. There's a closeness to God there like you've never known before. Amen. Amen. I don't know when the Lord is coming back for His church. No one does. No man knows the day nor the hour. But Jesus did say we can know the season. And I believe that we are in that season. Amen. But for the sake of the point, let's just say that Jesus is coming back for His church in 7 years. Let's just say 7 years, okay? Just for the sake of the point. Will you stand before Him? In 7 years, will you stand before Him with regret in your heart? And begin to say to yourself, oh, I wish I had left my here and went there. I wish I had done more to get closer to Him. I wish I had prayed more. I wish I had fasted more. I wish I had studied the Word more. I wish I had given more. I wish I had witnessed more. I wish I had won more people. I wished I had been to church more. I wish I had worshiped more. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Amen. Let's just say He's coming. He comes in 5 years. 5 years from now, the Lord returns. Will I then stand before Him with regret and say, oh, man, now I don't know. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I want to hear Him say, well done, but I was so comfortable in my here. I was so comfortable in my worldliness. I was so close to the world and I enjoyed it. I liked it. I knew I had some flaws and I knew God was calling me to a there, but I just didn't want to leave my here. Let it not be said of us that we stand before God with regrets. Let it not be said of us that we heard the preaching, we heard the message, we heard the call of God to go there, but we didn't. We decided to stay in our here because it was more comfortable. Amen. Let's stand today. Praise God. Praise God. And so, the good news is, beginning right here, right now, I know, and you know, that God is calling each of us. All that really matters is that I know God is calling me. And all that really matters to you is that God is calling you. Amen? Yes, He's calling your spouse. Yes, He's calling your neighbor that's sitting beside you. But you know what? Right now, that's not your concern, really. I mean, it's really not. Because what it all comes down to is that right here, right now, God is reaching into my heart and my soul and into your heart, mind, and soul. And He's speaking and He's saying, I have a place for you. It's a place in me that I want you to be. I have a place in me that I want you to be. Your spouse can't get you there. Nobody else, the pastor can't get you there. Nobody else can get you there. You have to go there. And if you will go there, I will meet you there. I will bless you there. I will help you there. I will do things in your spirit, in your mind, in your life, in your relationship with me that you don't even know about. But you have to get there. You have to press forward. You have to press toward that place. You have to go there. Amen. You've got to make that journey. You've got to. There will be many other theirs to come. But right now, let's arise and go to your there. Amen. I want to be there. I want to be there. I want you to be there. I want all of us to go there. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And so let's rise and let's make that journey. Here and now. Maybe you've never even cried out to God before in your life. That's all right. That's okay. Leave that here and go there. Amen? Or maybe on the other end of that spectrum, you've been living for God for a long, long time. There's still a place that God is calling for you to go. Go there. The opportunity is for every one of us. Every one of us in this place today. Amen. If we will just arise and go there. It's up to us. Oh, hallelujah. It's up to us. Let's come. Let's find a place to pray this afternoon. And let's cry out to God. Let's reach out to Him. And let's press toward that place. Let's reach for that place. Oh, hallelujah. Let's not be satisfied with here. Let's not be satisfied with almost. Don't be satisfied with almost there. It's not there. Hallelujah. But let's go there. Let's go there. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. All over this place, let's talk to God. Let's talk to God all over this house. Let's talk to God. Let's lift our voices to Him and let's cry out to Him in this place.